Cryptids and MILFs. I'm your host, Amanda.
And I'm Ella, and you're entering the sovereign country of Scully Nation, where the flashlights are flickery and the blazers are boxy.
This is my first time watching The X-Files.
And this is my fourth time.
So confident.
We decided last time that it was my fourth time.
I'm so proud of you.
Fourth.
How many?
Four. Count them. One, two, three, four.
I didn't know you could count to four. This is great.
I just did.
I'm proud of you.
I learned a lot last week.
I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Fourth. And first. They go together like peanut butter and jelly.
Like oil and water.
Well, oh no. That's not a good thing, though. That's a bad one.
Like angels and demons.
Ooh, speaking of, there's some angels in this episode of The X-Files, aren't there?
Metaphorical. Nope. Angel, not even metaphorical angels.
Just code name.
Just code names.
Code name, angels.
Yes. So, yeah. So this week we're talking about season one, episode 10, Fallen Angel. It's another alien mythology episode. It's our first mythology episode since Deep Throat. I guess whether or not you want to count Conduit, which Chris Carter didn't.
I count it, but me and Chris, we differ on a couple things. Let's just say that.
Oh, okay. I've decided now. All right.
In this exact moment.
I guess, to be fair, Conduit was more... I mean, it was, like, sort of about aliens, but it was more about emotions.
That's true. That's true. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't revealing anything new about aliens. I guess if we want to be generous.
Okay. But this one... We learn some spooky alien knowledge, and we see some aliens.
We learn quite a lot. Yeah. There's a lot going on this episode.
It's good.
Maybe we should get to it.
All right, let's talk about it.
All right. So, this episode aired on November 19th, 1993. It was written by Howard Gordon and Alex Ganza, and directed by Larry Shaw. So, Gordon and Ganza are of Conduit and Ghost in the Machine fame.
Oh, yeah.
Famed all across
the world. That's
actually
on their resume. That they just say, writer of Ghost in the Machine, the X-Files episode.
Yes.
That's the focus.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Of course. But they misspell it 2001.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Yeah. Embarrassing. Larry Shaw is a first-time director for the show, and he doesn't have too much... to his name. He was the executive producer on Desperate Housewives, which is...
All right, that's a lot.
Pretty random. And he also directed some Lizzie McGuire.
Ooh, which episodes?
I think he only directed one episode of Lizzie McGuire, but then he directed one of those other Disney Channel movies with her.
Oh, okay.
Cadet Kelly.
Oh, Cadet Kelly.
Cadet Kelly. Yeah, he directed that.
Of course I remember Cadet Kelly.
I don't remember that one.
It wasn't as good as Pixel Perfect.
Okay.
But
I remember the one where she went to Paris. Or Rome. It was Rome, right?
The Lizzie McGuire movie.
Was that it? Yeah.
Where she and Gordo smooch.
I don't remember that.
Wow.
I did watch the show, but I guess it didn't make much of an impact on me.
That's okay. It's very strange rewatching it because it's one of those situations where they're, I think, graduating from middle school, I want to say. So they're, you know, small children. And they're just, going to, they're, like, 13 or 14, and they're going to Italy and just, like, allowed to wander the streets on their own and then become pop stars.
That's how it'd be when you're a precocious teen, I guess.
I guess. I wish.
Not unlike... the precocious teens that aren't in this episode.
That's... Oh my god, no teens!
No teens.
Oh boy.
I'll be writing a letter to my editor.
Same. Same.
All right. Anyway, but moving on from Lizzie McGuire, this episode takes place in Townsend, Wisconsin, and briefly Cheyenne Mountain, Colorado. So we've actually visited a new state in every single episode so far.
Oh, that's exciting.
So...
That's fun. It feels like we've been in Wisconsin before, but I guess not.
Nope. First episode. I've been keeping track.
Nice.
So we'll do like a roundup at the end of the season.
Yeah, we gotta get a map.
Yes.
That'll be fun.
So, short plot synopsis of this episode. Mulder puts the future of the X-Files in jeopardy when he heads to a UFO crash site being rapidly covered up by the military. He is arrested, and while in jail, he meets Max Fennig, a UFO nut, that's a little rude, whose NICAP group has followed Mulder's work on the X-Files. When Mulder is released, Scully urges him to return to Washington to face his superiors and try to save his job, but Mulder finds out that Fennig is more than meets the eye and ignores Scully to try to save him instead.
Selfless.
I guess.
All right, should we talk about the meat of the episode?
I would love to talk about the meat.
Let's do it. All right. We are, as we discussed, in Wisconsin.
Woo!
Heard of it.
Represent.
Been there. I wouldn't go so far as to represent them.
Okay.
Wisconsin's fine. I like Wisconsin. All of our Wisconsin listeners can settle down.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. You're a great state. I've bought beer there. And
well, there you go.
Cheese.
And?
That's
it.
That might be it.
Okay.
I think that's all they have there.
You've eaten Mexican food there. Wisconsin famed for their Mexican food.
That is true, but wait, have I done it with you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Anyway,
so yes, so we're in famed Mexican food capital of the world,
yes.
Townsend, Wisconsin. It's 1 a.m. We see a bright orange explosion behind some trees. That's not good. That's not normally what you see in the forest at 1 a.m. So an old, like, SUV or truck or whatever from, it's a sheriff's deputy,
yes.
Pulls up. He sees this, and he radios in the fire, and he is squinting so hard. This man is a squinter.
I would say this is his primary characteristic.
I don't remember anything about him except the squinting.
I will say every time I wrote about this guy in my notes, I called him Deputy Squint.
So. Exactly. So Deputy Squint radios in the emergency.
Even though it's the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I'll say. That's important.
Yeah.
He can't see very well. It's the middle of the night.
Yeah, he's not even... I don't think he's even facing the fire, because it's, like, off to the side of the road.
Yeah.
So it's, like, kind
it's
of...
It's, like, off in the trees.
Yeah, it's, like, perpendicular to where he has pulled up on the road. So it's not like he's squinting into this explosion. He just has that kind of vibe to him.
Yeah.
And I support him.
Listen.
He looks serious, and he looks weather-beaten.
I love him.
I also love him a lot, and I don't know why. So we've got Deputy Squint. Deputy Squint or Deputy Squinty?
Squint.
Okay. Deputy Squint.
Let's give him some respect here.
You're right. I apologize.
Please.
I apologize. This is an adult man.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
He went to school to become a squint deputy, and he deserves respect for that.
He does.
But his radio doesn't seem to be working very well. That's strange.
Uh-oh.
Makes me think back to the pilot. I feel like there were some radio issues then,
mm-hmm.
too.
That's
strange.
True.
Hmm. You know, just random thoughts.
Yes.
So he gets out of his car and he goes to check out the explosion. It's a mistake. I wouldn't do that.
Don't do that.
We cut to U.S. Space Surveillance Center in Colorado.
Cheyenne Mountain.
This is looks like a very cool place to work.
Yeah.
I just want to work here.
I was into the vibe.
Yeah, it's like... like kind of a mission control sort of situation, but like after dark. So it's super dark and basically just like the neon glows of the screens and the buttons are the only thing illuminating everything, which is my ideal working experience.
Yes.
I hate fluorescent lights. If I could, I would just like have my lights off all the time at work, but you can't do that because you look like a creep. So you're not allowed to. So you just have to have the lights on. But this place, dark all the time.
Always turn on that dark mode.
Yes.
All the time.
When I look at someone's computer and I see they don't have dark mode on, it's upsetting. It's like, oh, is this what Windows looks like to you all the time? On purpose?
It's terrible.
You know you can change that, right? Horrifying.
Hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of good set design in this episode that I liked.
It's a good one. So anyway, these are the people who are surveilling the sky to see when things are... falling onto the earth or whatever. I assume it's like the idea, you know what I mean?
I know.
I assume the idea is sort of like meteors and objects that would be dangerous if they fall to the earth and
aircraft
like
crashing, perhaps foreign aircraft.
Oh yeah, doing shenanigans. that yeah. sort of thing. So just like the people who are watching the airspace. And there's, you know, a boss
mm-hmm.
and his underling
approaches him.
Is it the same guy?
Yeah. Is that the same guy as what? Oh yes.
As later?
Yes.
Didn't put that. I like had a moment of doubt halfway through and I was like, wait a minute, was that the same guy this whole yes. time?
Same guy. Same guy. We need to get you flashcards.
Yes. I thought it was a different colonel guy.
No.
Okay. Well, this guy's important. He's the colonel, and he's in the rest of the episode, I guess. So his underlings show him... Are you sure?
Yes. Yes, because he goes and he's like, we got ourselves a fallen angel, sir.
Yeah, but I thought he was a different guy.
Well, now you're making me doubt myself.
Well, we cut back to the, like, surveillance at some point. And I thought the colonel was off doing something else.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. I don't know why I'm arguing this. Like, I know anything.
I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure it's the colonel.
Okay. There's a military boy, and his underlings tell him that they have seen something crash to Earth.
Mm-hmm.
It's made... Made land. It's landed.
It's crashed.
It has crashed right outside of Townsend, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. And they do mention that no known or aircraft can maneuver like this because it's kind of all over the place. Yeah. So
I remember seeing aircraft like that at some point in this show
mm-hmm.
that maneuvered like
interesting.
No human aircraft can.
Perhaps in the previous alien mythology episode.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's strange, right?
Okay. But, yeah, so they mention that, and then after they sort of mention how strangely it's moving, the colonel gets a little glint in his eye, and he tells them, don't start a regular report, because, obviously, it's just a meteor.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows that meteors move all over the sky.
It was the wind pattern.
It was the wind blowing the meteor, you know, all over the place.
We've all seen it.
It happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess meteors are the new weather balloons.
Yeah, they've learned and they've changed. They were like, no one's believing weather balloons anymore. We gotta go on to meteors.
We need a new dumb theory. So he tells them, don't worry about it, it's just a meteor. Disregard what your eyes are telling you. And then he goes off into his little crime corner and gets his on his little phone.
Crime phone.
His crime phone. And he calls somebody.
Crime boss.
Mm-hmm. His superiors, or we don't know who, and he tells them, could be, I mean, who knows? Could be anybody. And he calls and he tells them, we've got a hashtag confirmed fallen angel in Sector 87, mobilize Project Falcon.
Caw-caw! That was Project Falcon.
That's very good.
Being mobilized.
My question is, why is it never, like, code word or project, something silly? Project Cockadoo. Project, cute. I don't know, Poodle. Something silly.
That'd be very cute.
To, you know, what's the opposite of arouse suspicion?
To de-arouse.
De-arouse
suspicion.
Yeah, de-arouse suspicion.
Project Poodle sounds like a television show for 12-year-old girls.
Yeah, it does.
And I would watch it.
And when you're 12.
And I might write it right now.
Well.
If you guys are interested in buying a pilot for a new series, I'm looking to submit to the networks called Project Poodle. Hit me up.
Okay. All right.
You know where to find me.
I do. I'm looking right at you.
Well. All right. So, you know, we flash back to Townsend. The park ranger sees more explosions as he's walking towards this
the
crash.
The deputy.
Sorry, I wrote Park Ranger because I forgot what he was.
Yeah, that's right.
Sorry, Deputy Squint. Respect.
Yeah, respect.
Deputy Please. Squint, he does, he gets attacked by a fisheye lens, which is very sad.
Yeah.
So there's like, you know, we're obviously taking the eyesight of whatever has crash landed on Earth, and we're seeing it through a fisheye lens. So we see a fisheye lens kind of go up to him.
Low in the ground. Mm-hmm. Kind of zooms up to him.
Bright flashing lights.
Screams.
I wrote that because of the bright lights that he's squinting to his grave. Pour one out.
sad.
He died like he lived, squinting. Oof. And I support him.
Wow.
But it's sad.
Sad.
So credits.
Boom.
We're done.
Cold open over.
We're done.
We come back.
Budget Rest Motel.
Love it.
In Townsend, Wisconsin. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Seems like a lot of stuff is happening in this little town that's sending people into a spiral of nonsense.
Yes. So Mulder is here, and he's suiting up for some reason. He's pulling his boots on. He's checking his flashlight against his hand, which is very silly. You'd think he could just, you know, turn it on and see if it's working, but... He's serious, and he's doing all of this in the background. The news is on, the local news, and they're actually evacuating the entire town of Townsend. There's a caravan of people moving out of town due to a toxic spill.
Yeah, toxic spill of government bullshit. Am I right, ladies?
Whoa, shots fired.
Pew, pew.
Mm-hmm. So that's all going on. And then this is a very interesting effect. While Mulder is suiting up, we get a voiceover, which is, we've never really gotten this kind of experimental filmmaking before.
Oh,
experimental.
That's what you get when you have the Cadet Kelly director at the helm.
Of course. So while Mulder is suiting up, we sort of get a voiceover to a flashback with Mulder talking to Deep Throat. And Deep Throat is actually the one who turned Mulder on to what was going on in Townsend and sent him there. And he's like, I don't remember exactly what he says, but he's basically intimating, of course, it isn't a toxic spill. Something else is going on. You got to check it out. Mm. I did appreciate the cool when it moved from Mulder in the room with the voiceover, and then we kind of cut to the actual flashback. There's like a cool like zoomy effect.
Oh,
just like whoop.
That's kind of fun. I missed it.
It was very silly.
It's serious. This is a serious episode.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Gosh. And yeah, there's a certain level of, what's the word, like time sensitivity, because they're going to sanitize the whole thing in 24 hours.
Yes.
And so it's, you know, it's sort of like harkening back to ICE when they totally sanitized the entire location and Mulder wasn't able to go back. So obviously he's very motivated to get there as fast as he can, which does translate into him just running the whole time.
Of course. And then Deep Throat also mentions our colonel that we previously saw, that
maybe.
He's, well, that we probably saw. So our colonel has been sent in, and he's the real deal. He's a reclamations expert, and he's part of the crash retrieval unit. And previously, during the Cold War, he kept technology out of Soviet hands. So this is no one to mess with.
No, this is serious business.
Mm-hmm.
So we then see Mulder trying to sneak into the perimeter that the government and the army has put around the crash site. It's very silly. I mean,
He's a professional.
It's serious.
He's a professional.
He's like wearing all black. Mm-hmm. He's got his little like sneaking outfit on. And he's very cute. He's just running the whole time.
Running through the forest.
Oh, this was hilarious. There was, like, a laser fence, where mm-hmm. it was just, like, a fence with, like, red lasers.
Love this laser
fence.
You
could just see.
Yeah.
And there were also giant gaps in the laser, so you could easily, presumably, get under it.
Yeah.
Unless the lasers are supposed to indicate that there's, like, a full, solid block. I don't know.
I don't think so. It felt like just, like, the old movies where they don't have a lot of money for sets, and they're locked in jail, but there's, like, 4 feet between the bars, and they could... Literally just turned sideways and kind of felt like that.
Probably. When I was a kid, I used to put up yarn in my room as, like, lasers. And then my friend and I would, like, sneak, like, spies through
That's
them.
That's fun.
It's pretty fun.
All right.
Yeah.
Well.
So I'm just saying, if Mulder had practiced a little more of the yarn work,
mm-hmm.
he probably could have gotten in faster. Mm-hmm. But we have an extended scene of Mulder just trying to sneak into this mm-hmm. location.
Yes.
And so we see Operation Falcon Field Headquarters.
Yep.
There's tons of military vehicles around. An army boy jumps out of the back of a truck in a way that looked very fun. He's just, like, jumping. And he goes to talk to the colonel, who confirms that this whole situation is not a drill, and they will be using live rounds.
Uh-oh.
And then Mulder has, I guess, just been, like,
gripping. Hanging on, like a little flying squirrel.
Like, but under the truck. Uh-huh. Like, the undercarriage. He's just been, like, holding himself up while the truck drives in, I guess.
Arm strength to do that.
I mean, we've seen the arms. Come on. We can't be surprised. Also, apparently, everyone in the military is blind because he just, like, crawls out like a little, like, evil grudge baby.
It's the middle of the day. There's, like, 60 people milling around.
Nobody sees him sneaking out from under this car, though. And so he's in. So we continue creeping, and then he gets to a vantage point eventually where he can see the site of the crash. It's nighttime now. There's something big. People are, like, washing it off. People in these big silver hazmat suits are washing it down. Mulder gets out his big old camera. He starts snip-snap-snapping some photographs for his Instagram to show that he was there. And then an army boy does creep up behind him, and he does hit him in the head. Boom. Bam!
Sad.
Shoot.
Another thing about this scene is when we actually see the craft, another kind of callback is the shape of the craft looks pretty triangular to me.
Oh.
Also, like what we saw in Deep Throat.
I've seen some triangles before.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Indeed.
This show's gonna make me scared of triangles.
Sure.
I was already skating on the edge of that.
As if the Illuminati hadn't done that already.
Oh my, I tell you what, I see a triangle, I start crying at this point.
Sure.
So, now Mulder, you know, comes to and he's being questioned by the colonel. The colonel's, like, looking at the film that he was...
Well, ruining the film.
Ruining it. He was, like, holding it up to the light to ruin the film that Mulder had taken. Which is kind of nice. I guess that means he wasn't destroying his whole camera. Just the film.
I guess.
Yeah, he's a good man. Okay. I love the colonel.
Oh,
all
right.
He's great. He's never done anything wrong in his life, and he never will.
Who says they gave him the camera back, though?
That's true. I'm sorry. Hmm. It looked like a nice camera. And he's telling Mulder that, you know, Mulder's made the worst mistake of his whole life, which is saying a lot. I mean,
ridiculous.
This man hasn't met Mulder. So thank you very much. He has made worse mistakes and will continue to make worse mistakes.
There's so many mistakes he's made.
You cannot make a claim like that about Mulder.
Ridiculous.
And so, you know, Mulder rightfully points out that they've got a whole lot of firepower if this is supposedly just an ecological disaster, like a toxic spill or whatever the paper is saying and whatever the official story is supposed to be for the public. And the colonel just doesn't. He's not listening to this. No. He doesn't have to. He also, this actor just looks very much like our army actor. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He looks very, like, military.
Yeah, he does.
So,
good casting. He's got a presence.
Yeah. Good casting.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So, they put Mulder in a little prison.
A cute little chain-link fence jail.
Yeah. It's, like, out exposed to the elements.
They can't even afford real, you know, prison bars.
I know.
Sad.
Very sad. But upside is that his... not cellmate, but I guess cell neighbor in the other cell.
Sure.
Is Max.
He meets a new friend.
Gaw.
Yes.
This guy. So there's this guy who's got, you know, let's paint a word picture. He's got long hair. He's got a beard. Yes. He's got big round glasses.
Uh-huh.
He's got a ball cap.
He's got a cool cap. He's got a big jacket. He's kind of frumpy looking. He has, like, two earrings in his ear. He's got some style.
Got style and I like him. And he asks what group is Mulder with, you know, presuming that he's also with some sort of, like, UFO watching group that is interested in aliens, which he should be.
Should be.
I mean, they should be best friends.
Yeah.
Mulder seems a little bit like, I'm too cool for you.
Mm-hmm.
But he isn't.
He's not.
He is not.
You know, as you mentioned while we were watching it, we hate in others what we most see in ourselves.
Exactly.
You know,
Yeah, we were joking about how Mulder is sort of having a horrifying realization that this is how other people see him.
Oh, beans.
Like, oh, donk, this is what I look like to other people, huh?
He's like, no, I'm cooler. I don't wear baseball caps. Actually, he does.
Uh-oh.
Well, that's his first mistake.
But he's tall and muscular, so he has to be cool.
He can hang to the bottom of a truck with his arms and legs.
I guess. How is he doing that?
I don't know.
Whatever. It doesn't matter.
I don't know. Yeah. So Max is very, well, I'm going to say endearing because I like Max, but he's very anxious, very nervous. He talks very quickly. Mm-hmm. He's a big old nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A man after our own hearts,
of course.
You might say.
Yes. And then he does, I think this is the first time this has been said in the series, he utters the famous line, trust no one.
He does,
I think that's the first time, right?
I don't remember it happening before.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting, unless maybe someone has said it before. But...
maybe. I think he was the first one, though.
Okay.
So, he utters the immortal line, trust no one.
Thanks, Max. And he says it because Mulder's not answering all his questions.
Yeah.
Because Mulder's having an emotional breakdown.
Yeah, Max is just kind of rambling on, and Mulder's just sitting there like,
oh
what's
God.
Up with this guy?
Oh, my God. Is this what Scully feels like all the time? What have I done? But he's with, yeah, so Max is with the National Investigative Committee of Aerial Phenomena. Probably
yes.
Phenomena. NICAP.
Phenomena.
Is it phenomenon?
No, you're right. I wrote phenomena would be plural.
Yeah. I wrote phenomenon, but it should be phenomena.
Yeah.
NICAP.
Phenomena.
Boop, boop, doo-doo-doo. And then he's, you know, Max is asking if Mulder saw anything, mm-hmm. and kind of saying to his captors a little ostentatiously, yeah. I didn't see anything, so mm-hmm. you should let me go.
And then they come in and they just let him go. They're, oh, yeah. sorry. Like, oh, you should have said something.
If we know and he didn't see anything, we would have like, all right.
Anyway.
And then I wrote Max and Mulder is the same.
Sure. I also enjoyed after he said I didn't see anything, he's like, yeah, you know, they nailed me right past the roadblock and I don't know how they did it. So it's just, you know, knowing him for 5 seconds, I just imagine he just kind of walked right in, tramping through the forest.
Oh,
He's got his big antenna. He's got his flash camera. He's tripping over things. He's probably talking to himself. Like, I just don't know how they caught me. I don't know how they found me. I was deep undercover.
I was sneaking.
He was sneaking.
Now, if he had been wearing all black and crouching under, you know, bushes mm-hmm. and clasping the bottom of a truck,
yes,
he would have gotten in.
Absolutely.
But we can't all be advanced FBI agent Fox Mulder.
Of course.
Anyway. As I love Max.
Yeah.
So, we're in the same cell. Time has passed. Mulder has fallen asleep. And...
there was one good line in that scene before he falls asleep is they're kind of talking back and forth and Mulder's not really giving him anything. And Mulder asks Max, well, what makes you so sure that there's something out there? And then he says, well, the same thing that makes you so sure.
Hmm. This is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
I wish. Anyway.
I wish. It's fine. Anyway, so.
Cut.
Now Mulder is asleep, and who arrives but our favorite short little redhead?
It's Scully. She's back again.
Oh.
Scully's back. Tell a friend.
Hey, Scully's back.
Thank you.
Hey, Ella, I just want to let you know that Scully has returned to the episode.
Interesting. I mean, it has been 10 long, cold minutes without our dear, dear Scully.
If I'm being perfectly honest, there was a moment where I was like, is this going to be an episode where Scully's, like, barely in it? No. Do they do that ever?
I cannot answer that question.
Okay. It seems like something that would happen at some point in 9 seasons. So I was worried that I was going to see it happen now, and I was like, I don't know if I can handle it.
No comment. I know the answer, but I'm not going to tell
you.
Why won't
you tell me? That's fair. So anyway, we don't have to deal with that now. And mm-hmm. I'm sure we never will, or maybe will, potentially. We'll see.
We'll see.
But for now, Scully is here.
Yes.
And Mulder goes, I didn't order room service. That's pretty funny.
I also kind of imagine that she has a kind of like a jar by her door, and instead of like a swear jar, it's just like Mulder bail money.
Oh, absolutely.
She needs a little something on hand.
Yeah.
This is the second time in 10 episodes that she's had to bail him out. More than, wait, only two?
I think only two. I think it's only Jersey Devil and this one, but...
She does, I guess, if we want to call her rescuing him from being kidnapped in Deep Throat.
That was pretty intense, that's too.
It's like sort of three.
She, you know, she almost shot a man to get him. That's bail money. That's true. You know, he's lucky that he found her.
Yeah.
Or else he'd still be in... Well, I guess he'd still be in, you know, the government holding cell in the whatever. But more importantly, he might be in a Jersey prison.
Sure.
Forever.
But, yeah, so she walks in and then she says, "This isn't funny, Mulder." She just puts her hand up on the fence and her hand on her hip and she's like, "This isn't funny." She's mad.
She's got a big, like, mom giving you a lecture energy. It's like... She, you know, she's, like, in silhouette because it's nighttime and it's a prison, so there's, you know, not a lot of lights around or whatever. And it just feels like the scene where, you know, you come home and your mom's sitting in the chair and turns the lamp on and it's, like, dark except for that. She's not happy with you.
Yeah.
Mulder is very quippy in this episode, too, I will say.
Yeah.
He's not taking this seriously.
No.
So serious. So she's not super happy with him. The Colonel wants to shut down the X-Files because of this nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Well, not the Colonel.
I guess other people.
Yeah, Section Chief McGrath.
Okay.
Went over Blevins' head. Blevins, their boss that we've met before.
Gotcha. I remember him well.
Yeah.
Vaguely.
He's our favorite character, I believe we said previously.
I'm sure I have said that, but favorite character ship ended with Blevins. New favorite character, the Colonel.
Mm-hmm. Sure. But, yeah, so this person that we haven't met yet, Section Chief McGrath, wants the X-Files shut down because Mulder's, you know, causing problems. And he also wants Mulder out of the Bureau.
Typical. What else is new? You know what I'm saying? And she's just, like, very frustrated that Mulder's always, like, defying protocol and never doing anything by the books. And
you can tell she's mad.
How's that?
She's pacing back and forth. She's walking behind him to be dramatic. She's walking back. She's not having it.
She's acting, and she's mad.
Yes.
And, yeah, so, you know, he's like, "I know what I saw. Like, there's a cover-up happening. Something's going on." And she's like, "It was a downed Libyan jet with a nuclear warhead, you dumb piece of shit." Obviously, it was a downed Libyan jet. Obviously. They're all triangle. We know this.
Mm-hmm.
We know this.
Everyone knows.
And when they have a nuclear warhead, they gather as many people as they can around.
I think that's true.
To deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, of course. Mulder does not seem convinced.
No.
By this.
And Scully says, "Well, this story happens to be highly classified." And he's like, "Well, it's a highly classified lie."
Ooh. Damn.
Boy.
Take that, government.
Ooh.
All right, we're back at the laser fence.
They also, one more fun line. There's a lot of good lines in this episode.
Yeah.
I feel like I just gotta point them out.
No,
Mulder was going to introduce Scully to his new best friend, Max, but Max is gone. He was taken out in the middle of the night, and she asks, "Well, who are you gonna introduce me to?" And he says, "Another intrepid soul in search of a close encounter."
Yeah. Aww.
Good
line. I don't think Scully was in any mood to meet Max at this point, to be honest.
No.
I think
really,
she would have been really more frustrated.
Not any time in the episode, to be honest.
That's true. Listen, not all of your friends are going to get along with all of your other friends.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You can accept that.
It's like your high school friends meeting your college friends. It's just kind of weird.
Yeah. Exactly. Scully's like the cool friend that Mulder accidentally got. and now all of his lame D&D friends are like too lame for her. It's tough.
Sure.
But anyway, yeah, so we're, now we see kind of the fisheye lens again, which is, I guess, probably the Libyan pilot wandering through the forest, I assume. So there's like a mysterious kind of like human-shaped disturbance in the air. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you would call that. It's like
Who knows it's a human-shaped? humanoid shaped.
Sorry, you're right. That was really insensitive of me.
Wow.
I will be posting a Notes app apology for using that phraseology. Mm-hmm. That wasn't okay to our humanoid but non-human listeners. And I want you to know that you are heard.
Well, that was graceful. A graceful apology.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's a humanoid.
Yes.
Like shape, approximately. And it's like running really fast. And it also can run through the laser fence, which does mean that it is out in the world.
Oh boy.
That's not good.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I was gonna say this kind of reminds me of in like serial killer movies where they walk into the super, super high security prison and they show all the doors and the guards and the, you know, locks and everything, and there's like, there's no way this guy can get out, and then the next scene he's out. It kind of felt like that, but the fence was so lame that they didn't even try. But it's like, I don't know, they like set up this fence to be very like, ooh, no, it's a laser fence, nobody can get by. Mulder couldn't get by.
No.
But then the alien's just like, okay,
walk through it,
and seemingly has no ill effects.
Well, what do you mean alien?
I mean the Libyan fighter jet.
Thank you.
Not the fighter.
Well, the entire fighter jet is leaving.
The pilot.
The pilot.
I don't know.
It's an alien.
Oh. Ooh.
I bet.
It's, okay.
Well, we haven't gotten into my predictions yet, so we can't get to that yet. So we are back at the hotel. There's an old, like, is this an Airstream? I think it's an Airstream. Like the trailer thing.
That I don't know what an Airstream is.
I think it's what Max has.
Okay.
There's an old Airstream parked out front, and Mulder and Scully are chatting. Well, chatting makes it sound like Scully's not mad.
Scully's tearing him a new one.
She's like, you have a hearing tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. to try and keep your job, and frankly, her job, too.
Yeah.
And you better show up to it, and you better do good.
Well, I think Scully would just get reassigned.
Yeah, that's true. She's just worried about him.
Yeah.
And... you know, Mulder wants to stay until the hearing, until, like, the very last moment, so he can keep investigating.
9:45.
God damn. I'm so stressed. I would be so stressed to travel with Mulder.
I looked up the flight time from Wisconsin to Washington. It's, like, 4 hours, so.
I'm gonna throw up.
Yeah.
I can't handle this. If I'm not at the airport, like, 10 hours in advance of my flight leaving.
You gotta get there, like, the week before.
Yeah. Oh my god. I mean, I get that it's pre-9/11, so you can just, like, kind of walk onto the plane or whatever. You can just, like...
And especially if they're FBI.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. You just have to, like, put, your like, all of your, like, knives and guns in the tray that goes through, and then you walk through the metal detector, and then you pick up your knives and guns, and then you get on the plane.
I assume.
It's great. So that's true. They open Mulder's room, and it has been ransacked.
Trashed!
Things are... thrown everywhere, drawers are open, trash is spewed about the place. And my theory is that that's just how Mulder left it. I'm not totally convinced that they would have been able to tell right away that it was ransacked, but whatever.
Sure.
So apparently it's been ransacked.
Okay.
And it sounds like someone's still in there.
Uh-oh.
Hmm.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Who was that?
Scully gets her gun out. I did notice that she pointed it, you know, at the ceiling instead of just walking around with it pointed at other people like Mulder did in the last episode.
Which is very funny.
So.
Just competence.
Yes.
Wilson. So yeah, so they, you know, try to get to the bathroom where it sounds like someone still is.
Mm-hmm.
Open the door. What do they see?
An ass.
It's like Winnie the Pooh getting stuck in his little house, just butt and legs sticking out of this window. Unable to squeeze on through.
Very incompetent.
It's Max, obviously.
Oh, that scamp? He's back again.
He's back again. And this time, so in the last episode, we saw Mulder being a fanboy of an astronaut. This episode, we're seeing Max being a fanboy of Mulder.
Mm-hmm.
Shoes on the other foot.
Mm-hmm.
He loves Mulder. He's been following his career. They use Freedom of Information Act requests to figure out their travel arrangements so they can, like, follow wherever Mulder's going.
Yeah.
And then he calls Agent Scully the enigmatic Agent Scully.
Didn't he call it the enigmatic Dr. Scully?
Oh, probably. I wrote agent, but I don't know.
Either way.
You're probably right.
It's cute.
Either way, it's cute.
It's cute.
Whatever. And so he starts, you know, just, like, rattling off all of Mulder's, like, bona fides and, like, papers that he's written under pseudonyms and things he's discovered and whatever. Blah, blah, blah. It's cute.
Yeah. And then Mulder's kind of taken aback because he you know, the alias he used to publish the article wasn't, like, that great an alias, but he didn't really try because he says, I didn't think anyone was paying attention. And Max says, well, somebody's always paying attention, Mr. Mulder, mm-hmm. which is probably true, which is endearing in Max's case, but could be nefarious when it comes to certain other people.
Yeah. Oh, shoot. No, I'm scared.
So.
I did like that he called him Mr. Mulder, though.
Yeah, it's cute.
Yeah, and he, like, you know, he, like, recognized his face from, I don't know, whatever things that he has had Mulder yeah. published or pictures that had been published of him. So that's how he knew when he saw him in person that it was Mulder. Yeah.
I'm just saying he has a picture of Mulder in his locker, like, in a heart.
Mr. Max Mulder?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so cute.
Saying. I'm just saying.
That's pretty cute. Scully's gonna get jealous.
Yeah. Yeah, Scully is not having this guy. She's off to the side. She's like, oh boy.
Trying to steal my man.
And then she shoots Max in the head.
We no loose ends. No half measures, Mulder. That would have been a different episode.
Yes.
Anyway, so Max takes them to his, I believe, I'm going to just call it an Airstream.
Okay.
His Airstream, like, trailer thing that he's got decked out in the parking lot of the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a pretty cool aesthetic, if I do say so myself.
Yeah, it's I got, was like, loving it.
Like, Christmas lights. It's got, like, mm-hmm. a bunch of alien stuff everywhere.
Yep. Pictures of crop circles, radio equipment, books of alien research and stuff like that. Like, I would live.
Yeah, it just looks like somewhere that you would live.
I would 100% live here. I was loving it.
I would believe it. I could see that. So it's pretty great.
Mulder's also loving it.
Mulder's also
He's got a big smile on his face.
Yeah, he's, like, actually smiling, which is very cute because he does not smile a lot. And, you know, like, they're looking at pictures of crop circles and stuff, and Mulder's all like, oh, this is, like, not real, whatever. Whatever. They're, like, just swapping
industry stories. Secrets.
Yeah, they're, like, talking baseball, inside baseball.
Mm-hmm.
While Scully is annoyed and walking around and, like, creeping on Max's medication bottles and stuff.
Yep.
But, anyway, so he actually wanted to show them something specific. And what is that? He's got, well, I'll let you.
He has surveillance equipment, and he has audio from the night that it all went down, and they actually have the audio from Deputy Squint.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace.
Ugh, miss him. Love him.
Love him. So they have actual audio of the event. And another thing that they also see, or that Scully sees, is she's kind of searching through all his things, and she sees that he has, like, a whole shelf full of medicine, including some antipsychotics. Yeah. So.
We cut back to, unless you have anything else to say.
Nope.
We cut back to the colonel back on the phone with his boss or whoever he was talking to before. I'm going to assume, who's the funniest, like, 90s politician that it could be? Name a funny politician.
I can't.
Name a funny politician.
I can't.
Okay, Bill Clinton, but okay. he's wearing like sunglasses and playing the saxophone while he's on the call.
Okay.
So he's talking to Bill Clinton wearing saxophone. Wearing sunglasses, playing a saxophone.
Okay.
And he's saying, "Oh, we did our searching good this time. We did a good job." And
how good?
Oh, real good. And they won't get away. Not this time.
Mm-hmm. Because he said that every inch of ground has been squeezed and sifted.
I didn't like that.
Had to write that line down.
I didn't like that he said the word squeeze.
I don't know what that means. They're squeezing it. Okay.
Well, aliens can hide. If you just sift through it, they can hide in it. But if you, like, squeeze the dirt, you'll feel the alien.
Oh.
That's science.
That's just science.
I learned that in my astronomy class that I took.
All right.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't even think to, like, talk about that because I thought everyone knew that. Sorry.
Okay.
Anyway, so yeah.
So we cut. The boo crews at the high school. where all of the evacuees from Townsend are. And they are going there to interview Deputy Squint's wife.
They can tell which one she is because she's squinting. And the kid's squinting, too.
Yeah, Mrs. Squint.
Yeah.
I did like, it's the wife and her son. And I did like this kid because you know he's a kid because he's sitting there and he's got a baseball and a mitt. And he's throwing that baseball into his mitt because he's a kid with a capital K. And that's what kids do.
It's also really sad because, you know, he would be throwing that baseball with his papa.
To your old papa.
Papa Squint.
He tried so hard, but he could never see it coming. So sad. He tried his best, but he just wasn't very good.
He saw the future coming and he squinted, you know?
As they say.
Oofta.
I believe that's what was engraved upon his headstone. At the end there.
I will remember.
Except he didn't get a headstone.
Oh, yeah, that's a plot point. Do I have to do a little video of him? That's like the Shane video?
Fan cam. Deputy Squint fan cam.
I just write down this idea real quick.
For his, like, 30 seconds of screen time.
Yeah, it'll be easier to get into, because okay. I don't have any video editing.
All right.
I'm just trying to make content for
okay.
That no one else will appreciate except us.
Sure.
Okay, so yeah, so they go to interview his widow, and I just thought it was funny that Mulder's still wearing his sneaking outfit. Like, obviously he would be, because he hasn't had time to change, but it's just kind of funny.
I mean, he didn't bring his real, you know, like, suits and stuff.
Exactly.
So.
The widow does not want to talk to them. Kind of sounds like someone's maybe gotten to her, threatened her.
Uh-oh.
She hasn't even gotten the body to give her husband a proper burial. Scully kind of, like, talks to her, you know, trying, like, woman to woman, like, emotion shit, you know? And she's like, you know, the government can't do that. They can't keep the body. You're entitled to the truth. And the widow says, I can't afford the truth. Which is fair. Whew. It also sucks.
She's probably right.
Probably. Ugh. Bummer. She says that if she talks to anyone, they've told her that they'll withhold her deceased husband's pension.
It's not cool.
She's got a kid to feed. You know, she's got baseballs to buy for this kid.
Of course.
She's going to buy him sunglasses so that perhaps he won't have to squint. Mm-hmm. And so the same kind of tragedy won't happen to him. It's adding up already.
Yeah.
So she does not want to talk to them.
No.
And then, oof, the lights go out.
Uh-oh.
Something's happening. We see the U.S. microwave substation B-21.
Wow, you just wrote that down. Okay.
There's just microwaves everywhere. Uh-huh. They're just, like, making Hot Pockets. There's, like, a whole wall of microwaves. They've got popcorn. They've got Hot Pockets. They've got old pizza they're heating up.
Uh-huh.
They've got a mug of coffee.
Gross fish sandwiches.
Forget about it. It's everything.
Yeah.
And the person who put the gross fish sandwich in there, everyone else is mad at them because now it smells like gross fish in the microwave substation. And this man who, you know, he's like just listening to tunes while his microwave is heating up.
Uh-huh.
Suddenly, like, it's a super loud noise in his headphones. And he says he got a very high frequency signal.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like a thermal care. I don't know. We like cut back to, I guess, like the military watching the building or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't know where they were. Yep. Were they at the high school or just like some other place?
I have no idea. I don't really know what a microwave substation is, which is why I was making jokes.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's not that important. They're just checking that perimeter, I guess.
Yeah, they're checking some building.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, they've got a thermal camera and they're seeing that there's someone inside. There's like the beta team.
Mm-hmm.
And that was funny because then we were able to make some humorous jokes about how all of the people on the team are beta males.
Uh-huh.
And we were wondering where the Sigma team was and the Alpha team and all that.
Well,
very funny.
The Alpha team does show up later.
That's true.
So, but I figured that the, you know, they were looking through their microwave scopes at, I assume, the Sigma male.
That's what I was like drawn to him, and I wanted to date him, so that's how I knew that it was a Sigma male.
They wanted to
male.
Shoot him down so that they could get all the chicks.
Exactly. They were like, if this Sigma male is out and about, we're not going to be able to bang any ladies.
Of course. Oof. Anyway, so the beta team, they're tracking that Sigma. They're mad about it. I did appreciate there was some cool, like, investigation music in the scene while they're tracking them. So we kind of follow two military guys, and they're kind of coming in from one end while two other guys are coming in from the other end. And I did kind of love this guy, because we've got two guys, and our guy in the front, he's all business. He's serious. He's dedicated. He's checking those corners. The guy behind him just looked like he was scared out of his mind.
That was actually, they had the alpha and then the beta next to him.
Really did. He was just kind of like wide-eyed, like, kind of freaked out looking. It's like, I don't know if you are cut out for this job.
Luckily, he's not gonna have to worry about it much longer.
I thought it was the other two.
Oh, maybe not.
I think he was okay.
These all have blurred together. Sure. I mean, I couldn't even tell the difference between, or I thought there were two different colonels, so well, I can't be trusted.
Well,
poor guy.
Anyway, so we get our invisible Libyan fighter jet again, zooming down on the ground. We got our fisheye lens, kind of a cool little POV shot, and it just kind of runs up on the other two guys and sort of electrocutes them. Mm-hmm. And we got a close-up on their faces, and their heads are shaking back and forth really, really fast, and flashy lights. Kind of silly.
Just like Deputy Squint.
I thought it was a reasonably cool effect with no budget.
Yeah, no. I mean, so, it worked.
Yeah.
Got the job done. So we cut to the county hospital where Mulder and Scully are trying to get more information on what happened to Deputy Squint. And the doctor won't give them any information because, I mean, I don't think HIPAA had been passed yet, but, you know, basically HIPAA.
Sure.
And then the doctor is like, has his back turned to them. Mulder and Scully are like in the background. The doctor's in the foreground, very dramatic. And then he just goes, I hate fascists. It's like, same. Like,
what a mood. I kind of like this guy.
Like, what a mood. I love this doctor. Super relatable. So, you know, he was saying that, like, the people who came in and tried to force him to cover up what happened are fascists, which is true. So he like admits some of the information to Mulder and Scully. There were, like, he saw the deputy and, like, three others from the fire crew, and I think they were all dead on arrival with 5th and 6th degree Ooh. Burns, which I had to look up to figure out what those were. 5th is into the muscle, and 6th is into bone.
Ooh,
so, burned gross. Into the bone. You don't hear about this much, probably because you just, like, die.
Gross.
So not good. So the bodies were taken away by the army before they could, like, really do any tests or anything. Mm-hmm. Suspicious.
Yep.
And then at one point, Scully asks some, like, pertinent question, and the doctor's like, how do you even know to ask that? And she says that she did her residency in forensic medicine, which is making me, like, want to read her biography, because now I don't remember. Do you do residency as a medical student, or is that beyond medical school?
I really don't know.
I just am unclear if she, like, was actually a doctor or not.
I mean, she is a doctor.
Yeah, so she must have, like, is she, like, licensed?
I think yes.
Okay. I've done some slander about her in other episodes.
I think she is, but to be honest, I don't really know how that works.
Okay.
But yes, I think she does. She is a doctor.
I have to issue another notes up apology for the ICE episode that hasn't aired yet, where I did slander her and imply that she wasn't a real doctor.
Oof. I mean, she is. So
I thought she just went to medical school.
No. Yeah, she does. Yeah, I think this is like the first episode where she actually kind of flexes her medical skills, but that is a thing going forward.
Okay. So. I'm sorry, everyone.
Sure. But then, they bring in more burned bodies. Beta team, 4 went out. And then the they kind of cart those guys in, and it's all chaos, and then the colonel walks in, and then I would like to extend kind of an olive branch to you, Amanda, because I did feel like you feel every day, because the colonel walks in, and he's making stink faces, and he looks right at Mulder and glares at him, and I was like, wait, how do they know each other? So I,
there you go.
I did not know. I did not remember that they had met each other before.
Yeah.
So I assume that's how you felt every single day. I was scared.
Yeah. It's tough.
I felt alone and cold.
Yes, it's very upsetting.
In a very large world.
It's scary. But it's fine. I've got some coping measures if you want to hear about them off mic.
Okay.
We can discuss that. Yeah, so we're back in the emergency room. Everyone's freaking the fuck out because these people are dying.
Yes.
Or already dead. Doctor and the rest of the staff are, like, desperately trying to save everyone. Mulder's, like, harassing the colonel, you know, like, what are you doing? Scully tries to help medically by, like, doing medical stuff.
Yep.
And then the colonel tries to kick them both out because he's sick of this nonsense. Mm-hmm. And the doctor's like, you are not kicking Scully out because we have a bunch of people who are about to die and she's a doctor.
Pulls rank. I like this doctor.
I do too. I actually really like this doctor. Yeah. I feel like he would, I don't know, he would have been like against Nazis and stuff.
That was literally that was my thought too.
He would have like protected patients against
Nazis. Yeah. He felt like a good dude.
Yeah.
I like him.
I trust him. Yeah. He went into medicine for the right reasons.
Yes.
And so Mulder does still get kicked out because he's irrelevant.
Fair enough.
Which is fair. So he goes back to the hotel. He knocks on Max's door and Max does not answer. So Mulder just goes in. Max is convulsing on the ground, having a seizure.
Very sad.
I know. It looks really upsetting. So Mulder like holds him, which I'm not sure you're supposed to do with someone having a seizure, but yeah, he's trying.
I don't remember.
I never remember what you're supposed to do.
Because it's, it feels like every time I hear about it, they're like, you can't do that, but you need to do this thing. And then the next time I hear about it, they're like, you can't do that, you have to do this. I'm like, I don't know.
No. I think you're definitely not supposed to put anything in their mouth.
Yes, I know that.
I think you're supposed to, like, try and put something soft under their head and, like, get stuff away from them.
That makes sense.
But I don't think you're supposed to, like, hold them down. But he was in, like, a cramped space, so there was really only...
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. This is not a medical advice podcast. So Mulder, like, holds him until he kind of, like... the seizure ends, and then, you know, talks to Max about it, and Max doesn't have any memory of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, Mulder's like, oh, you were having a seizure, you were on the ground convulsing. Max is like, that's impossible. Like, I've had epilepsy my whole life, but ever since I've been on medication, I haven't had seizures.
Mm-hmm.
But he tells about his, you know, childhood and how he was first started having seizures when he was 10, and doctors assumed that he must have had, like, some sort of head injury, but he doesn't remember getting hit on the head or anything. And he used to just wake up in strange places with no memory of how he got there.
Hmm. Mysterious.
He seems to think it's all the epilepsy, but I don't think Mulder's quite buying that.
Mulder has another theory.
Mm-hmm. So Mulder puts him to bed and wraps a little blanket
around
him.
It's very sweet.
Very sweet.
It's very sad.
I know, and I loved it. Whatever. So just, like, puts his little friend to sleep. And then he notices that Max has a weird, like, triangle shape.
Triangular incision right behind his left ear? Or...
I think it was his right.
Right ear.
Yeah. Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So we're back at the hotel room. Mulder's got his hot dad look. But we'll talk about that in Blazer Watch. And he's doing research on the L triangle shape.
Yes.
Incision. And Scully comes back in and, you know, it's like very like Grey's Anatomy, like ripping off the face mask, disappointed. She's like, it was horrible. I mean, she doesn't literally do that because she's not wearing a face mask, but that's the vibe.
I kind of liked how Gillian Anderson like played this because she walks in and she just kind of is exhausted. She walks over to the fridge and opens it. And then closes it immediately. It's just like, fuck, there's no stacks in here. I don't know. I just like the way she played it.
It was good. It was like, I was expecting her to grab a beer, but it's like a motel.
Yeah.
So there wasn't any. Tragically.
Sad.
But yeah, so she gives Mulder the lowdown on what happened at the emergency room. I think all but two of the soldiers died, and the other two are in very critical condition, and they're being sent to Johns Hopkins for the, like, care for their burns, but it didn't seem like it was super likely that they were going to survive either.
Yeah.
And I guess even if they might survive, I don't know if I trust the military not to kill them. You know what I'm saying? Cover up. They've seen too much.
Yep. Get that Sigma male hitman in there.
Typical. Typical Sigma male. That's why they're so hot.
But Mulder does have a theory that he shows her, or he tells her about the incision, and then he shows her pictures of the same incision found on two other people in two previous X-Files, two women, other opposite sides of the country. They didn't know each other, but they both claim to have been abducted by aliens. And Scully is, she's tired, she's exhausted, she's been working for 15 hours. She's like, God damn it, I don't want to hear about this. And Mulder says that Max, this one might be different because Max isn't the one that thinks he's been abducted by aliens. Mulder thinks he is.
Yeah.
So.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. She did, I don't know, she like, Scully has like a very profoundly sad look on her face as Mulder's saying this. And I was trying to read it. I was like, is it because she's like sad that Mulder believes this so strongly when she doesn't and thinks it's nonsense? Or is she just, like, sad about the fact that she's been working for 15 hours and everyone died? Or is it, like, is it resignation? I don't know.
I was thinking the second one.
Okay.
And she's just very, very exhausted. And normally she would love to argue with Mulder and, humor him. But she's just very tired and they have to get back to Washington. And she doesn't have time for this.
I will say I am at this point in the episode getting very stressed because I guess Mulder was like sort of sleeping for a couple hours, but like has Scully slept in like 2 days? What's the time?
How long?
Because it was like,
has it been?
She like
comes, she got there in the morning. I guess she's been she's been awake the whole night.
Yeah.
I guess.
Nightmare.
No thanks.
And working like in stressful conditions during all that. And then they have a hearing at, like, 10 this morning.
Yeah, I had a question about this, because it's, like, morning.
Yeah.
And she's like, we have to be in Washington for our hearing at 10 o'clock, but the sun is already up. It's like, what time is it?
I don't know.
And the flight is 4 hours. I don't know.
Do we know what time of year it is?
Well, the episode came out in November, and I think they usually try to keep it, like, pretty much the same. So I think it's supposed to be November.
I'm trying to think when the sun rises in November around here. It would not be that early. Wouldn't it be, like, maybe 7?
Yeah, well,
I guess they would, but that literally doesn't give them enough time if it's a 4-hour, whatever. I think it all falls apart. I assume they rescheduled the hearing.
Yeah, because no they do a lot of stuff after this.
Unless they did that all in 1 hour.
Doubt it.
So she agrees to look at Max's incision. We go back to the space surveillance place that we were at the very beginning where they're, you know, looking for the impact craters and that's not the right phrase. They're like seeing when things fall.
Yes.
They're watching for aircraft and stuff.
Yep.
And the same lady sees another meteor again. And this is why I thought it was a different guy because it's like the same guy is there, right? In, or is it?
There's three people at this surveillance thing. There's the woman and then like this other guy and then the colonel.
Okay, and this was the other guy I was talking to her? Okay. That explains everything.
Yeah, I think
okay.
So.
That makes me feel better.
The colonel was there in the beginning.
Okay.
But he wasn't there for the rest of the episode.
Okay. Sounds good. So they see another meteor and it's hovering over a small town in Wisconsin.
You know, like meteors do.
Yeah. That's well, it's like the wind pattern together.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. You know. Sounds a little suspicious.
Mm-hmm.
So the fisheye lens is back in the like woods of Wisconsin, and it goes into like Max's airstream.
Yep.
That's not good.
Mm-mm.
It creeps up to his bed where he's been tucked in by Mulder.
His little ear.
It goes looks at his little ear, and then its blood starts seeping out of his ear.
And you know it's bad because it's like his ear that he's like on his side, and it's the ear that's pointed up. So that's a lot of blood to be coming up and out.
Yeah, it's got pressure to
gross.
It.
Gross.
No me gusta.
Mm-mm-mm.
Not good. So now, you know, they're Mulder and Scully are getting ready to leave for their hearing, but Scully promised, Pinky promised that she would look at Max. So they go over into the parking lot to the Airstream, knock on Max's door. He doesn't answer. He's gone. There's blood on his pillow.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's not good. The surveillance equipment that he has in his Airstream, it's tuned into, like, the police scanner or whatever, and there's information that there has been a trespass at the waterfront,
I guess. Or the water park.
We weren't sure. So, in Wisconsin, there is a famed, like, is the entire town a water park?
It's a goofy, like, tourist town, and there's just water park. It's like, yeah, there's just a bunch of water parks everywhere, and
it's called the Wisconsin Dells.
Goofy tourist trap stuff.
So they're in this episode at the waterfront of Lake Michigan, but we misheard it as water park, so we also had a lot of fun joking that they were going to go to the Wisconsin Dells to find the aliens, and, you know, Mulder and Scully are going to be in their little bathing suits.
What if they had to, there was like a chase, but down a water slide, oh, like the alien goes down the water slide and they have to commandeer somebody, and they're like, get out of my way, and they steal some kid's inner tube and go jumping down it after.
That'd be so cute. I feel like Mulder would have, like, a flying saucer-shaped inflatable for his pool.
Absolutely.
That'd be very cute.
It'd be pretty good.
So, that's another idea. Chris Carter.
Yep.
Call me.
Yep.
If you want to read my spec script.
Sure.
Or they go to the Wisconsin Dells. but no, it's at the waterfront.
Okay.
In Lake Michigan. So, Mulder really wants to go there. Scully very much wants to go to the airport instead, because they do need to catch that plane. Mm-hmm. She is very stressed about this hearing. But Mulder wins. They go to the Lake Michigan waterfront. We see Max first. So we see Max sneaking around. He seems distressed.
Yes.
Things are not going well. The army is coming for him. They catch him in much the same way they probably caught him when he was sneaking into the perimeter. Which is, he's just walking, and then they just go, there's a civilian here.
Yep.
And they see him. And then we see Mulder and Scully arrive. But when they see those same army boys, they are burned with, like, 6th-degree burns and very dead.
Uh-oh.
So the last thing we saw was them confronting Max. Does that mean Max killed them? What's going on? Is Max an alien?
I mean, I don't think so, but...
No. So that's not good. They run into the building. I don't know, like, whatever building is by the dock.
Some sort of warehouse.
Yeah. It's smoky. It's dusty. There's plastic everywhere. It's a 90s warehouse.
Yes.
Max is on the ground, and he's just saying, like, stop it. It hurts, and it's really sad.
Yeah.
And he's, like, in pain, and he's like, they're coming for me. It's just not good.
No.
And the colonel rolls in, too. Everyone's, like, converging on this dock. Colonel rolls in. He pulls out a radio with, like, the biggest antenna I've ever seen in my entire life.
Like, 8 feet tall.
He's got, like, a walkie-talkie with, like, like an 8-foot long antenna just, like, springing out. Whatever. He thinks he's on the Alpha team, let's just say that.
Uh-huh.
He's not. Scully, like, walks out of the door to the... She, like, walks out of the warehouse.
Yes.
You know, and immediately gets arrested. she was like, oh, I can tell that aliens are going to start showing up, so I got to get out of here so I can't see them.
Uh-huh.
Please arrest me immediately. And then the army, like, starts putting, like, explosives on this big, like, warehouse.
Like a roll-up door.
Roll-up door. Immediately next to the door, she literally just walked out of. So they could just walk in the door that is unlocked and open.
Mm-hmm.
But instead they have to, like, blow up this warehouse for some reason.
Well, I think, as we learn, this is the Alpha team, so they gotta show their dominance.
Exactly. That's why I was, like, intrigued by them. But the fact that they were in a team, I was like, I want a loner.
Uh-huh.
A Sigma, if you will.
This is a very time-stamped joke, because nobody is going to remember that this was ever a thing that people are talking about in a month.
Briefly on Twitter.com, people were making jokes about Sigma men.
Yeah. So, which is nothing.
It's nothing. It's nothing. It's like the Alpha, the Omega, and the Sigma. And Sigmas are supposed to be lone wolf thing.
Whatever. I don't know.
Anyway, it's very funny. So, you know, there,
Yeah, so they're kind of looking into the structure with their heat-seeking things again. And initially they say, okay, we're seeing three forms inside the structure, which is pretty weird because there should only be Mulder and Max in there.
Sigma boy back again?
Oh, boy. So we go back in and Max is still freaking out and he's kind of begging Mulder to don't let them take me. Which was very sad. And then immediately Mulder gets like zapped and thrown across the warehouse. And then Max briefly disappears. Mulder is looking around for him. He can't find him. And then he comes in and then he sees Max and Max is just kind of floating in the air and he's kind of out of it, sort of not quite unconscious, but
he's, like, kind of convulsing again. Yes. He's, like, there's, like, an effect on it, so he looks sort of, like, digitized and not quite corporeal anymore. Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't look good. He's, like, floating, like, like Jesus Christ on the cross.
Or
in the like pilot.
A fallen angel?
Nope.
Perhaps?
What?
Oh, my God.
I don't get it.
Anyway. So he's floating there, and then it's very sad, and then there's a very bright light, and then he disappears. Oy. He's gone.
No, wait, you were my first friend and only friend. I was going to invite you to my birthday party. It was going to be you, me, and Scully, and we were going to order a cake, and it was going to have a UFO on it, and it was going to be really fun.
He would definitely come to that.
I know. And he'll probably bring his other friends.
Yeah. I feel like Max would bring not a good present, but a heartfelt present.
Yeah.
It would be, like, something that he likes a lot that the other person doesn't, and he loves it, so he wants to share it. It's not really something that Mulder would care for, but he put his whole heart and soul into it, and he cares, you know?
I just love Max. Does he come back? Don't tell me.
I can't tell you.
I know. Anyway.
So
it's not good.
No.
Max is gone. He's been abducted by aliens. Again.
And his hat is left behind.
And then so he lost his hat. Good Lord.
His nightcap,
which is very funny. And so, yeah, like, Mulder dramatically, like, leans down and picks up the hat while the army swarms in, the Alpha team. And, you know, the colonel comes up, I think. Someone comes up. Mulder's talking to him, and they're like, they got to him first. They beat us, Colonel. Resigned, sad.
Mm-hmm. Also, Mulder is just straight up walking around, even though in the next scene he has crutches like he broke his leg or something. So
it was the adrenaline.
He's just walking around. Anyway, whatever.
He's sort of like shuffling a little bit.
All right.
It was the adrenaline. He was so hopped up on that. He didn't notice his broken leg. Maybe the implication is the Colonel broke his leg after he said that.
Whoa.
It's like, God damn it, Mulder.
Well.
That'd be kind of funny.
No.
I mean, sad.
Yeah.
But. Again, well, this actually feeds into our theory that we can talk about in a little bit when we get to the hearing about the fact that it wasn't perhaps a real broken leg and that it was a sympathy ploy.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. So, yeah, so that's a bummer. Max got abducted and the alien is apparently gone. Well, whatever.
Back to Washington.
Apparently they made it in time for their flight.
I don't think so.
I assume it got rescheduled.
Yeah.
Can you imagine having to reschedule your meeting with your bosses where you're basically getting fired anyway? What a power move.
Yeah.
You're like, I can't make it to you firing me. You're going to have
to reschedule for tomorrow. That's just how Mulder does it.
He's the real Sigma, if you think about it.
Oh my God.
All right, so we're at the Office of Professional Responsibility hearing. There's three big boss boys.
There's one very unpleasant man with very long arms and a very froggy face, and I did not care for his vibe.
No.
And he's interrogating Scully. I liked this shot because it's him, and then we... I don't remember the exact term for it, but we... look at him, and then we go the other way.
It's like shot, reverse
shot? Shot, reverse shot, yes. Maybe. We get a reverse shot of Scully across the table, and it's kind of a cool shot because she's right in the middle, and it's a very, very long table, and it's there seems to be a kind of a bit of a zooming back effect, like a very slow one, so it was kind of a cool shot.
Yeah, it makes her look very small and them look very big, and
yes.
Like very, it's a very intimidating meeting. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah.
So it was neat. So they're asking her a bunch of questions, just sort of one word answers, not giving her a chance to explain herself or justify what they were doing. She tries to make a statement, but they don't let her. And she's like, God damn it. So she leaves. I think it's, and then she goes outside and Mulder's sitting there. I think it's very cute that they just wait for each other outside the meeting.
Yeah. Well, you know, they don't want to be alone.
Of course.
It's scary.
Yeah. So Mulder goes in, and then briefly Scully sits down and she looks at the newspaper and she sees a news article about what happened, and it says toxic cleanup a success. The government cover-up is well at work.
Disgusting.
Ugh. Gross.
So we see Mulder's part of the hearing, and it takes, I don't know, about 0.5 seconds before they start screaming at each other.
It's very funny.
He's there's a lot. Yeah. He's not gonna leave meekly.
No.
He is yelling right back at his bosses, who are trying to fire him. And he's like, that man was abducted, we all know it, there mm-hmm. were aliens, they're real, you can't keep hiding this, mm-hmm. like, you know, you've covered it up okay now, but like, they're are a lot of people who know, and the mm-hmm. truth is getting out, yep. and you're not going to be able to keep this under wraps anymore. It's very dramatic. I want to have this kind of dramatic.
Yeah, he has a great closing line. He says, well, you can deny all the things I've seen and all the things I've discovered, but not for much longer, because too many people know what's happening out there, and no one, no government agency has jurisdiction over the truth. And then he drops his mic and he walks out. It's very dramatic.
Do you think he practiced that on Scully?
Yes.
Or just on himself?
Oh, just on himself.
Okay.
Just on himself.
He definitely practiced it, but yeah. I wasn't sure if he, like, brought her in to be like, is this a good line? Probably mm-hmm. not. She probably wouldn't have approved of him yelling at them.
No. You're like, Mulder, you can't do that.
God, don't get fired. So this is kind of weird, because it seems like he would get fired, right? But, like, they don't.
It seems like a pretty cut and dry case. Like, oh, I guess the X-Files are getting shut down. Mulder's out of the Bureau. This is a pretty short show.
Bummer.
Too bad.
No, it was a limited series.
Yeah, I guess.
But then we see the main questioner guy walking outside the FBI headquarters, like down a pathway outside. And he's just like walking so grumpy.
Like power walking.
He's like power walking, like an angry.
With his long, weird arms.
Like he's got like weights in his arms, but he's like got them balled up into fists. And he's just like, I'm so mad. I'm so mad. And he's just like stomping down. And who is he going to meet with outside?
It looks like Deep Throat.
But why would Deep Throat be meeting with this guy?
I don't know.
Oh, boy. It is Deep Throat.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. And then they just talk next to a tree for a while. It sounds like Deep Throat intervened and stopped Mulder from getting fired and stopped the X-Files from getting shut down.
So that's...
I guess he's pretty powerful.
Good, I guess.
Yeah, that seems positive. Our friends, you know, our friends are helping us keep our jobs.
That's good.
And then he starts talking about how, Mulder knows a lot and that it's, you know, occasional insubordination, which Mulder does do a lot of. is less dangerous than having Mulder exposed to the wrong people, which is like, you know, okay, I guess his dad is just like, you know, making sure that his friend group is cool. Like, so it's like still cool, right? He's just like trying to keep Mulder safe, right?
Sure, of course.
He does, Deep Throat does end on the line, keep your friends close, but keep your enemies closer. And I got sad, because that does seem to imply that Deep Throat is calling Mulder his enemy.
I will say, great line delivery.
Great. Was really good.
I just love him. Jerry Hardin is, I think, the actor's name. I don't know. Every time he shows up, I just love this guy.
He's
I love
good.
Everything he does.
This is why I wanted to trust him and love him. But
yeah, so that's how the episode ends. So I guess we can... So how are you feeling about Deep Throat now?
I still want to trust him.
Okay, okay.
I still want to believe.
Okay.
So, I mean,
you had a very strong reaction.
I cried.
You were throwing things, you were screaming.
I sobbed openly. Yeah. I was inconsolable for days after.
Of course.
I could see a scenario where he is, you know, like, he has to maintain his own, like, he doesn't get that high up in the bureau being open about his mm-hmm. intentions.
Yeah.
So who's to say he's being open with this guy? You know what I mean?
Yeah, fair enough.
So, like, I don't know that I believe that he is an enemy, but I'm worried now.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean he's not coming to the birthday party with Max and Scully?
He might do a drive-by and drop off, like a nice watch or something.
Okay, okay. And then be like, oh, I can't stay, sorry.
Yeah.
I've got opera tickets.
And then he goes and drinks alone.
Yeah. But, like, that's what he wants.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. At a cool, fancy bar.
Yeah. Steve Theron is someone that should only be seen in, like, what's, like, it's not three-quarters view, but it's, like, from the back, where it's, like, right, you know?
That's three-quarters view, isn't it?
And it's, like, back three-quarters instead of front three-quarters. Like, you only see, like, a little bit of his profile, and mostly mm-hmm. you see the back of him, because he's so mysterious.
Yeah. He also, if this show had come out, like, 15 years later, he would always be in shadow.
Yeah. That's true.
Only meeting in parking lots, or parking ramps at night yeah. under a, what you call it, a street lamp.
Absolutely.
Half his face in shadow. That's how it should be.
But, you know, he can't be too mysterious. He's like, you know, he's like Gus Fring. He's got to be in the community mm-hmm. so that he can hide his nefarious dark stuff sure. more effectively.
So you're saying he has nefarious dark stuff?
I mean, I guess nobody doesn't have nefarious okay. dark stuff, right?
Many people do not.
What?
Wait,
nobody,
excuse
nobody
me?
Nobody doesn't have... ooh, everybody has nefarious boy. Dark stuff, oh. right? I feel like maybe he'll betray Mulder and Scully at some point, and then he'll save them afterwards, and he'll be like, I had to betray you for the cause, you know? But okay. we'll see. Or maybe he's just evil. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
I just want to love him.
Yeah, fair enough.
He's got a good vibe.
I mean, I'm going to say, without revealing anything, you know, good or bad, I love him. I love him anyway.
Yeah, you can still love him.
I love him either way.
That's true.
He's great.
That's true. Even if he doesn't go to Mulder's birthday party, I still love him.
Yeah.
So that's my prediction.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm fair worried. Enough. I'm nervous. Yeah. I felt very betrayed personally when he said that.
Yeah.
Because I said, but Mulder's your friend. But Mulder's your friend.
He's supposed to be.
But I guess the show has literally been warning us to trust no one this whole time, so I can't say I'm surprised that I shouldn't.
They have, yes.
Does that mean I can't trust Scully?
I think... the two people we can trust are Mulder and Scully.
Okay.
I think anyone else is fair game.
Okay.
We can trust those.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably.
Anyway.
All right. So, yeah, so that's about it. So this is kind of our first mythology episode since Deep Throat, so we've kind of got a couple new bits of information. So we've got, like, aliens that could possibly turn invisible. We've got, again, recurring abductions like Billy Miles and the pilot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We've got triangular ships. We got a definite deep threat or a definite government cover-up. Mm-hmm. We got it all.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who know something.
Mm-hmm.
So it does seem like we are getting to, as Mulder says at the end, an inevitable point where too many people know something and they can't keep covering it up.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah. All right.
Max, I love him. I hope he comes back. I'm concerned that he won't. But he might. He kind of had the vibe of a character that would come back to me. So, I don't know. We'll see. Good. We'll see.
Either way, it's very sad.
Yeah.
I liked him very much.
Yes.
I wanted to protect him with my whole body.
Yes. It was very sad when he was like, don't let them take me to Mulder. And then Mulder said, I won't let them take you. And then Mulder was just, launched across the room and they immediately took him.
Yeah. It was just very sad. He was just like a sad little dude all on his own. Yeah. And he needs somebody to protect him.
Yeah.
And nobody's there to protect him. And it makes me very sad.
I just don't like the aliens being so mean. Why couldn't they be nice aliens?
Yeah.
You know? Some aliens are cool.
Not these ones.
Yeah, these ones are dicks. That's not okay. I don't know. Whatever. It's fine. I'm over it.
All right. Okay. So, moving on to some behind-the-scenes things. Not too much. One very funny thing is, if you look at my notes, Click on that link for me. So the invisible alien was shot. They had a dancer in an orange jumpsuit. And I am showing Amanda the picture of what it looks like right now.
Why is he so big?
And similar to us, they actually had to keep cutting over and over again because people were laughing. And every time they started the cameras, you could hear the crew laughing in the background.
It's like a man in one of those, what do you call those suits that like cover your whole body or whatever?
I don't know what they're called.
Yeah, like body your whole suits. Face and everything. Yeah.
We'll put it on the social media.
Yeah, I'll put that on the social media. But yeah, bright orange. And he's very like large and ungainly.
It's very funny.
So that is very funny. And just like in the woods.
Anyway.
That's silly.
You gotta do what you gotta do to get those special effects.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
Anyway. So that was about it. Not too much else behind the scenes. In terms of real life basis, kind of same thing. Not too much except all of the... at the beginning, Max mentions a bunch of UFO centers, and actually all of the ones he mentions are real.
Ooh.
So he mentioned NICAP, the National Investigations Committee on Aerial Phenomena, MUFON, which is the Mutual UFO Network, QFOS is the Center for UFO Studies, and PSYCOP, the Committee for the Scientific Investigation of Claims of the Paranormal. So those are all real.
Do you have to join these groups?
I guess. Cool. I don't know if they're still around.
Well,
that's right. They were around in 1993, but...
That's fair.
I don't know.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's about it. Okay. And then, very briefly, talk about the actors in the episode. So, Frederick Coffin, which was the guy that played the Froggy Man at the end of the episode, he played a character called Max in the Twilight episode, in the Twilight Zone.
Hmm.
Coincidence?
Hmm.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It is.
Maybe he just has a Max kind of... Wait. Yeah,
Coincidence?
Was he reincarnated? Was the spirit of Max? Huh. Did it pass to another actor?
No.
Okay.
It's just a name.
Yeah. Oh, it's a coincidence.
But I thought I'd bring it up.
No, I appreciate that.
Sure, sure, sure.
The government's hiding something about this.
Of course, of course.
We can all agree on that.
Mm-hmm. And then Marshall Bell, who played the Colonel, was apparently in 3 episodes of Deadwood, which we literally just watched. Don't remember. He's the judge. Don't remember this character. He was in 3 episodes of the show.
Huh. Well.
I don't know.
That was a good show.
We just finished watching Deadwood.
So, again,
I don't know.
We're kind of, like, dealing with our natural inability to watch things together.
Yeah.
I don't know a single thing that happened on Deadwood the entire time. I loved it. I was vibing with
sure.
it. Sure. Don't remember the plot very well. Too busy making goofs.
It's our curse.
We're just too funny.
And our gift.
We're too
okay.
funny.
All right. No.
It's tough.
Okay.
All right. Now, I think we can agree that it's time to get into what is the most important part of the episode. And that is Blazer Watch.
Excellent.
Let's talk about the clothes in this episode.
I'd love to. There's some good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. We've already talked about Mulder's sneaking outfit.
Yes. We didn't mention that he had a black leather jacket, though.
Yes, he has a black turtleneck, black leather jacket, black jeans, black shoes, black socks.
All out. Very good.
You know his boxers were black.
He had to accessorize.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So he's sneaking. Scully's got a big trench coat at one point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is pretty nice. That was a good look. And then at the end, when she's being interviewed by the board, I really liked her suit that she's wearing.
I didn't notice it.
It was like a black suit. It was actually well cut, unlike all the giant blazers. So it was like a blazer that fit.
Yeah.
Basically.
Fair enough.
She's dressing up.
Yeah. We briefly mentioned this, but Mulder's research outfit, very nice. He had like his big reading glasses on and like a purple open throat shirt.
Yeah.
It was very, it was a good look.
Yeah, he just looked like a hot dad.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Max, obviously, I think we talked about him a little bit. He had like a plaid shirt and an orange vest kind of thing.
Yeah, I was going to say Max's outfit is my favorite. Cap, long hair, wire rim glasses, jacket, plaid shirt, earrings. This is very much going out on a limb. solely on basis of the earrings. I don't know, his style kind of felt queer-coded to me. Okay. Did you get that vibe at all? Maybe it's just because he dresses like a lesbian. But I don't know.
I didn't really.
I was getting vague vibes.
But now that you say it, I can't. It's like queer-coded or 90s.
Yeah,
it's hard to say.
That's the thing.
But no, I mean, I can see that.
I don't know. I think I'm fishing here, but
you gotta know. Sometimes you have to fish when they don't provide any bait. You know,
I was getting vague vibes. And maybe it was just the earrings. Like I said, no,
Max.
But I'm gonna take. I'm taking it.
Is Max a queer hero?
I'm taking yes.
Yes.
I'm saying yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. In fact, he was going off to join his alien boyfriend.
You know what? I actually support
them. You heard
it here
first.
Mulder would be so jealous. What if Max left him and their relationship that they were forging for an alien?
I think Mulder gave off more, like, Big Brother vibes.
Yeah, it's true. He did not actually have any sexual tension with Max.
No.
He had familial love.
Yeah. Or Max.
God, I'm just bummed about Max.
I know. I love Max.
In the absence of some rowdy teens, which are normally our favorite characters, Max was the closest, for sure. So he did have the most rowdy teen outfit.
Yeah. I love his vibe. He's definitely my pick for the episode.
Nice. Just in the interest of being different, I'll choose Scully's hearing outfit.
Okay.
She looked fancy.
All right.
It's like, you know, a girl boss. Hashtag girl boss.
God.
I feel like she would fire me, you know?
I will say when we first envisioned the podcast and doing Blazer Watch, I definitely thought that most of the content was going to be Scully's outfits. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't really turned out that way so far.
Yeah, it turns out that instead of caring about Scully's outfits, we care about rowdy teens.
I guess. Who knew?
Who knew? We're learning about ourselves. This is actually a journey of self-discovery about ourselves.
Sure.
That's why we're doing the podcast.
Of course. Shall we move on to FBI Do?
Absolutely.
Which is where we discuss the burgeoning relationship between Mulder and Scully. We rate every episode based on a sort of a doomsday clock scenario. So 10 minutes to midnight would be very far from smooching, very platonic. 0 minutes to midnight is actively smooching, doing the do, going to the bone zone, doing the horizontal shuffle.
Oh my.
I could probably come up with more, but I'm not going to.
No, those are good. Those are good.
Okay.
I like this.
So, yeah. So we usually try to pick like some examples from this episode. So in this episode, what would you say a 10 minutes to midnight would be? The cold platonic light.
I was going to say the Colonel and Mulder, but that's not quite true, is it? There's a little,
There's
a little something.
There's
there.
Something.
There's something. Yeah. It's not good.
No.
Deputy Squint and the explosion?
Okay.
That's not good.
But it was definitely hot.
Yeah, it was definitely hot.
It's the thing.
No one's platonic
There's
in this
a lot
episode.
Of passion in this episode.
This is a passionate episode. The Doctor and the Fascists.
Yes.
Okay.
Doctor and the Fascists. Yes. Excellent. Okay. 0 minutes to midnight. I feel like there's a lot of Froggy Man and power walking.
Deep Throat and betrayal.
Deep Throat and dressing. Beautiful. We didn't even mention
it. Oh my god. It's like so, it goes without saying if Deep Throat's in an episode that his fashion is the best, but it shouldn't go without saying because he deserves the appreciation.
Sure.
So, skittering back on to Blazer Watch a little bit, Deep Throat's outfit was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember it. I just know it was good.
Yeah. I'd say, okay, 0 minutes to midnight, Max and me giving him a hug.
Yes. Perfect.
That's it.
All right. So, where do Mulder and Scully fall in this episode?
Like right in the middle.
Yeah.
Like a 5.
They're solid. They've got solid friend energy here.
Yeah. They're working together. Well, I guess they weren't really.
No, but Scully was worried about him. She was.
Yeah.
She was like annoyed, but annoyed because she cared about him.
Yeah. They were close.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were chatting.
Mm-hmm.
There were some jokes. Some quips.
Some quippy quips.
Mostly on Mulder's part because Scully was, not feeling too jokey this
she
episode.
Hadn't slept for 72 hours
exactly.
So
and had to do emergency surgery on 6 dead people
so that's fair
and thought that Mulder was gonna get fired but Yeah, I think 5 is solid.
Just a solid 5.
Yeah. You know, we can see the potential, but it's not quite there yet.
Sure.
So a 5.
All right. Predictions? We got a lot of new information in this episode.
We did. I am going to guess that they're... Okay, so I think Deep Throat will betray them and then mm-hmm. unbetray them.
Sure. Okay.
That's one. I think we'll see more triangles.
Okay.
As time goes on.
Yeah.
I feel like at some point there will be, like, a dramatic reveal of, like, that mark behind someone's ear that we, like, already know or something. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You'll be, like, talking to somebody and they turn around and then, uh-oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It'll be like Scully suddenly has it or something. Like, I feel like that might happen.
Okay.
I suspect that the whole world will find out about aliens at some point, and then, like, I don't know, they'll wipe everyone's minds or some nonsense. Ooh. I don't know, something dramatic.
That's really dramatic.
That's something like very dramatic, and okay. then silly will happen.
Okay.
I hope we get to see an alien. I want to see a little guy.
Sure.
But I don't know.
Okay. Any predictions about Max?
I think he'll come back.
Okay.
And I think he won't remember meeting Mulder.
Okay.
He'll, like, remember Mulder, hopefully, because of the fact that he's a fanboy. But maybe he won't. And maybe that's how Mulder will know. I don't know. I think he'll come back, though.
Okay.
But he'll come back wrong.
Love it.
I do love it.
It's the best trope.
It makes me very sad.
Yeah.
But I do love comeback wrong.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. But those are some...
Yeah, he's already been, like, abducted before, though, so I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe he already came back wrong.
Maybe he wasn't right. So delightful before.
What if he gets more delightful?
every time.
It's actually not. Okay, my real prediction mm-hmm. is that all of the alien abductions are just like an alien civilization's version of Queer Eye, where aliens come and abduct a human and they bring them back to their ship and they just like make them better and more delightful.
Okay.
And get better fashion sense
sure.
and better hair uh-huh. and they're just like nicer people and then they yeah. like drop them back on Earth and they're like slowly trying to make humanity better by doing that.
Fascinating.
And then like other aliens watch it and they're like, Glorb Snop is like, oh, snorkel, alien eyes on. You gotta get to this Vidja tube to yep. watch it. There's a new season.
That makes perfect sense to yeah. me.
So that's
You're
my,
right.
That's my prediction.
I can't believe that you predicted the season 9 finale of the show.
You
Amazing.
Know, I've heard it's a bad finale, and I don't see how my prediction can, mm-hmm. you know, mesh with that
sure
analysis.
Yeah, you okay?
If that happens, then it has to be good.
Well, it's like the end of Justified because that all happens and it's a, like a really good finale, and yeah. then the last 15 minutes are shit. So, God.
Graham Yost, talk to me.
We don't have time to get into Justified.
Listen to my.
We'll be here all day.
My monologue essay about the last 15 minutes of Justified.
Sure.
We'll get to it. That'll yeah. be a bonus app,
of course,
on the Patreon.
Uh huh.
Anyway, yeah, so, I don't know. That's what I think. We'll see.
All right.
So what's your favorite moment in this episode?
Yeah, I don't know. I think just kind of the whole ending was very good. I guess specifically any scene that Deep Throat is in, I'm all in.
Yeah.
Because I love him.
He's a good boy.
So, yeah, I don't know. I liked that last scene with Deep Throat.
Okay.
I think this is kind of the first, perhaps the first scene where we learn things independent of Mulder and Scully. I mean, we've had, like, scenes with the monster of the week or whatever, but this is, like, the first significant scene.
Yeah.
Separate from them.
Yeah.
So, I kind of like that. Just kind of the sense that things are happening outside of their purview. The gears are turning. Nonsense is happening.
There's always someone watching.
Mm-hmm. So I like that. It kind of brings a sort of a bigger picture kind of idea.
Yeah.
Episode.
Nice.
So.
I really enjoyed when they first go into Max's Airstream. I just like that scene. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just like that where, yeah, like he and Mulder are talking shop together and, you know, Scully's looking at all of the stuff mm-hmm. and it's like, you know, in a different world, Mulder would be this person.
Yeah.
Which is also kind of funny.
Sure.
But yeah, I don't know. I just like Max, so
yes.
Basically, like, him being introduced was good.
Yes.
All right, now we rate the episode. Okay. So this is on a scale of 1 to 5 little alien head emojis.
Yes.
And I liked it. I thought it was a good episode.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know. I enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
It felt important.
Yes.
3.5.
Okay.
3.5 is my rating.
I don't know. I very much enjoyed Max, as we've talked about. I love Deep Throat. I also thought there's a lot of cool set design in this episode. I liked the Max's trailer was really great. And then the surveillance HQ was really great. And the look of the waterfront was really good. So it's just a good episode. That's our cat. I think inevitably he's going to show up in the recording somehow.
I think so.
Yeah, so I don't know. I was kind of waffling between a 3.5 and a 4.
Yeah.
Three and a half.
Okay.
Probably. But it was a good episode. I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
It was a good, solid episode.
I was debating a 4, too.
Yeah. It's very close to a 4, yeah. But it's probably a 3.5. But it's just a really good, solid episode.
It's a high 3.5.
Yeah.
3.75, if you will.
Sure.
You know.
If you want to get specific.
That's that on that. Next week, we're going to be talking about season 1, episode 11, which I have just learned looking at the notes, is called Eve.
It is.
Is it about Adam and?
Perhaps.
Interesting.
It's another Monster of the Week. Ooh. It's a good one. It's like one of the Monster of the Weeks that has, like, series-long implications.
Oh, okay.
It's like an important episode.
Okay, cool. So. All right. If you have thoughts you want to share with us, please do. You can send us an email at scullynationpod@gmail.com. Whether you've got criticisms of our takes.
I can't imagine that you would.
That sounds fake. You just want to appreciate our funny jokes. That's more likely, obviously. Or you just want to share your own thoughts on the episode.
Theories.
We'd love to hear it. Theories. No spoilers, please, for future episodes.
Yeah.
But other than that, free game. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at SkellyNationPod. The music for our show is by Groovemaster Putz. You can find their music on Bandcamp, and that's spelled GROOVEMASTAPUTZ. There is still a cat in the background. He is being insufferable this time, so he is going to show up on the audio. That's Midnight. He's very cute.
But very annoying.
But he will not stop. He will not stop meowing.
We can't stop him.
He is unstoppable. If he worked at the FBI, he would have found out about the aliens because people would have just been so annoyed that they would have just told him. You know what I'm saying?
So if there's a simmering undercurrent of rage to our voices right now, it's because of the cat.
But he's very, very cute.
Yeah.
So he gets away with it. And I've been your host, Amanda.
And I've been Ella. And remember, trust no one except for us.